All trying all the wings in town, trying to see who has the best? Well, you can stop your search now, because it is now a fact that Seiberg Sports Bar and Helen Fitzgerald's Irish Pub have the best wings in the St. Louis area for 37 years and counting. Open daily at 11 a.m., both Seiberg's and Helen's offer great lunch, dinner, and happy hour specials, as well as local live music every weekend. Check out HelenFitzgeralds.com and Seiberg's.com to see the live music schedules and to view the menus.
Hey Cardinals fans, on Saturday, April 7th, the Cardinals host the Diamondbacks, and that day it's the Mystery Hall of Fame Opening Day Car Parade Bobblehead. You'll be surprised at the gates when you find out which Mystery Hall of Fame Parade Bobblehead you'll receive. On Sunday, April 8th, the giveaway is a lightweight quarter-zip performance pullover, and kids will receive a ticket voucher to a future home game. That's April 7th and 8th, the Cards and Diamondbacks. Tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. There's only one. Cardinals baseball.
Hey fans, it's Matt Carpenter. On Sunday, April 8th, we face the Diamondbacks. That day is the lightweight quarter-zip performance pullover giveaway. The pullover is courtesy of Maryville University. Also that day, kids will receive a free ticket voucher to a future home game, thanks to Ritz. That's Sunday, April 8th, when we face the D-backs. Tickets are available at cardinals.com/promotion.
And over to third base is Carpenter with an RBI triple, and the Cardinals lead it 4-0.
There's only one Cardinals baseball.
College basketball tourney is game on. Watch and play as college hoops powerhouses take on the best challengers to determine who is number one. Back your favorite college teams to win and earn extra cash for every winning pick at BetDSI.net. BetDSI.net is the best online sports book for your college basketball tournament action. With over 20 years experience, and BetDSI.net is top rated on review sites and well known for the fastest payouts and an easy to use fast playing interface. Bet in-game and play with live wagering throughout the tournament and virtually all other games, sports, and events 24/7, 365. Get 100% member bonus on your first deposit using promo code MADGATEWAY. That's right, you'll double up your money right away. Don't sit on the sidelines during this year's basketball tourney. Use promo code MADGATEWAY at BetDSI.net and start winning today.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Female jealousy is an evolutionary fact, Lemon. If you try to breed it out of them, you end up with a lesbian with hip dysplasia.
Cross over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Oh, well, let's share with the rest of the class.
Welcome to the hard line. We've already upset all the lesbian listeners.
What's new? What's new? Oh, I'm trying to find. Hang on, this will be worth the wait if I can find this. Good afternoon. Let me welcome everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. It's March 21st, which I always think is the official first day of spring, but it was yesterday, so we're, you know, second day in the spring. Nice to have you with us, and we didn't get to the Burke segment yesterday. It was really short and sweet, so I'd like to not forget it today. So we're going to jump right in with what we call the Burke segment, and it goes a little something. Dan, what?
Nothing.
What's so funny?
No, snorted, I know.
You snorted,
no,
you
know
snorted yesterday.
I know I did. It must be my allergy.
You know, the listeners don't like that. They well, here, snorting. Share some. Here, I'm gonna share some emails with you. Here's an email. Dear Frank, every once in a while I hear someone snort on here.
Yes.
Sounds like it might be Dan Strauss. Wow, how unprofessional. I'll continue to listen. I continue to listen, but this really is disturbing, not only to me, but I think to lots of other people as well. You know, and that's, I get lots of them like that, people that write, so you know, it's noticed. It doesn't go unnoticed. Yeah. So what's so funny?
Well, we were laughing about the like thing that Trevor played at the beginning of the show about the lesbian.
And I missed that because I was busy preparing the show. Yeah, see, that's when I prepare the show.
Oh, you're too busy worried about getting airtime on the show before ours to, instead of preparing for this show. Here's your problem. If somebody needs to call you out, I'll do it. Okay, that's your problem.
And that's my problem?
You're more worried about getting airtime on the show before ours than you are about prepping for this show.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true. You know, he's got a point. He has a point. Dan is the happiest. I don't even know why you're so happy. Did you win money or something?
No, I didn't. When you said the Burke segment, we're going to go to the Burke segment. I know Tim actually has something for the Burke segment.
This is going to be a big day because so does Limey. He told me before.
I do. You know, mine's going to be a little bit long, though, so Tim, you go first, mate.
No. That's not how it's done.
Well, and I know why he wants Tim to go first, because after Tim, it won't seem long at all. It'll seem like an abbreviation. Let's start with the man who spoke up first and said that he has. Oh, I got I got some hate email about you.
Who wrote
about
that
you,
email?
Limey.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote that email about me snorting?
Frank's wife.
No. Here, it's Peter, and you have to help me with this last name. It looks like it might be, I don't know, another nationality. Peter, how would you pronounce S-U-Z-C-H-E-R? Peter Zucker?
Suture.
From Shoveltown wrote that email.
Whoa.
Yeah, let's jump right in here and check in with the one and only Trevor Limey Phillips. What do you have for us, Limestone?
Oh, man.
Well, this is something that
You're welcome.
He wanted you to have me go first because he was long.
Right.
He thinks he's longer than me.
I was going to be long. Well, this is something...
I've heard that before, too. He thinks he's longer than
you and me both.
Yeah. Take us to four, Trevor.
So you remember last week we had all those students walk out and do that 17-minute protest for the 17 who died in Parkland, Florida, right?
Yeah, and that changed the world, by the way.
Oh, it absolutely did. Well, there's a video of one student, and her name is Angelica Mansfield. I don't remember what school she went to, but this is kind of going viral right now, and I just wanted to play a little bit of the speech of what she was talking about, because it kind of makes sense, and what she's talking about isn't stupid, and it's not preachy. It doesn't really have anything to do with gun laws at all, and there's no, like, you know, take away the guns or anything like that. But what she's saying is actually, I think, a small factor of something that can be done to stop school shootings.
How long is this speech?
The whole thing's about a minute and 20 seconds, but I don't think we can play the whole thing.
Well, first of all... that's not much. Yeah. Play it.
First of all, shrimp on the Barbie. Her name's Angelica. It's not Angelica.
My bad. Sorry.
Tim.
Angelica. That makes way more sense.
But it doesn't matter. Angelica. And how do we know it's not...
I looked.
Angelica.
I checked it out. I'm the fact checker on the show.
He is the fact checker.
We're getting off the topic.
I watched some of this, too, and she called the students out, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, she did. So, here we go.
Before we just stand here for 17 minutes and don't do nothing, because that's what we're all going to do right now, I just wanted to say, like, we're out here for a shooting, school shootings. You guys are all in a school, okay? And these school shootings are happening from these kids that you guys are cornering out, that you're bullying, that you're doing this, all this stuff to, because you think it's funny. And it's not funny. All of these kids just want to be themselves. They want to be who they want to be in their own school. They're here to learn. You're not here to bully. Kids shouldn't be shooting up schools. We're teenagers. You should say that you love your neighbor. You should be there for them. Sit with them at lunch. Tell them that you're their friend, that you're going to be there for them whenever they need you. Because just because they're already dealing with bullying at school enough, and they have their own problems at home, whether you know it or not, everybody does. And I don't see why it's so hard to be nice and care and love each other. Like, it's not hard. And I know some of you are going to laugh and look at me like I'm stupid, but I don't care, because somebody said something while we're out here. Somebody stood up. And I'm sorry that I look mad and I'm saying this aggressively, but you guys won't get it any other way, because it's not a joke. It really isn't. Most of you are out here because you don't want to be in class. That's it.
Oh, good one.
Right?
Good one. Good for her, because that's exactly right.
And I don't think no one was getting up and saying anything, and she just got up and started speaking to everybody.
Well, I think the girl really has a point, you know? I mean, the gun safety, I don't know anything about that. Mental health issues, I really don't know anything about that. But bullying, that could have something to do with it. So, you know, if any kids out there listening at this age, I know summer on spring break, school's getting out, you know, just be a little nicer.
There was a story I was reviewing prior to today's newscast in which parents of a 15-year-old boy in Michigan turned him into the police because they found two guns and some Molotov cocktails in his backpack, and he confessed to them that he was about to blow up his school.
Oh. Whoa!
And the reason, real quick, the reason is because somehow a picture of him in his underwear was circulating amongst the students at school, and he was getting bullied, and that's what he was about to do.
Yeah.
Poor kid. Well, that's got to be one of the hardest things his parents have ever done, turn in your own kid, right. And one of the bravest things they've ever done. So good for them. And I've often wondered, what if one of my kids did something like that? What would I do? I'd like to think that as tough as it would be, I'd call the police and go, you need to come get him. He's her out of control or whatever.
Yeah. And
I'm glad you played that.
Sometimes if the school calls parents and says, hey, your son is, or your daughter is a bully and bullying and doing this, and the parents don't care. Sometimes they'll just go, yeah, well, what's it to you? Who cares?
Well,
you
know, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. They'll just say, oh, well, kids will be kids.
Yeah.
That's not an answer. That's not a response, especially when they're talking about, and we've talked about this before. Unfortunately, far too many parents have this attitude. No, my son would never do that. That's not my son. You got the wrong, goodbye, got the wrong house. Yeah, probably was your son. People generally don't just make that crap up and make, let's pick this kid and blame it on him. Yeah, it probably was. I've already told my big bully story. The single proudest, not the single proudest thing I ever did with my kids, but right there at the top of the list was the way I handled the problem when one of my kids was a bully. And he was only bully as far as I know, with one kid. And we shut that down, and that was the end of it. And it completely rocked his world to the point that, as far as I know, he never did it again. In fact, went the other direction. You know, as long as I'm interrupting, let me say this too. I have a grandson who's 4. He'll be 5 in July. And I don't know what he's going to turn out to be. I don't know if he's going to be straight or gay or mean or, but I do think there are exceptions, but I do think that kids grow up to be in some ways mirrors of their parents. You know, if they have parents that were married a long, long time, they're not nearly as likely to be afraid of marriage and divorce and all that stuff. And I found out that my grandson goes to a little preschool, and there's a girl in the class who has cerebral palsy. And my daughter-in-law sent me a picture. She went to the school and actually saw this and was able to capture it, of him holding her hand and sitting with her and talking. Now, he's 4 and a half, and the other kids won't play with her because she has cerebral palsy. And the teacher told my daughter-in-law that she watches him with her, and it's almost like he's decided he's going to be her buddy, and he's going to make sure that she's not by herself when they're having snacks, when they're playing, and he makes a point to hold her hand and to talk to her. And I saw that, and I was so proud of him. I don't even know if he knows why he's doing it, but maybe deep down there's something in him, and maybe it's genetic, that tells him, this little girl's being ignored by everybody. You can fix that. You can be the one who doesn't ignore her. And I was really proud of him. And he has no, if I said, buddy, I'm so proud of you, little man, he wouldn't even know what I was talking about. Proud, what does that mean? But maybe it's a good sign of things to come. And maybe it's not. because I went to school with a kid. We were in eighth grade together, and he was what you call a Bible thumper down in Tennessee. And in the days when it wasn't against the law to have, did anybody here go to school where they had a devotional in the morning and they read like a verse from the Bible or something? Maybe not, but
no,
in the South.
I went to Catholic school for 4 years and we had to go to Mass in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, I went to Catholic school. We said a prayer every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In the South, where it was, well, beyond predominantly Protestant, there were two Catholics in the whole town, we read a Bible verse. The teacher would read a verse, and many times she'd let a student, you'd like to read a verse from the Bible. This wasn't a Catholic school, just a school, public school. And I remember there was a kid, and I wish I could remember his name. His hand always went up first. He wanted to read a verse from the Bible. And he explained to the teacher in the class one day that his only goal was to become a minister, and he wanted to preach and spread the gospel. He's in prison for the rest of his life for murder.
Oops.
Oh.
Yeah, in a rage, he murdered some guy right out of high school. So much for that, for the preacher kid and the good. So you never know. And I don't know what this means for my grandson, but I'm glad you played that. I'm glad you played that little speech of hers, because it had to be tough for her, because she's taken the chance of being made fun of and being bullied because of that speech. Did you have anything else, Limey?
Nope, that's it. That's all I got.
All right, and I believe now Tim Woodburn, private investigator, newsman, has something. Tim?
Thank you very much, Frank, for that glorious
introduction.
You're welcome. I'm actually glad you ignored Limey's request to have me go first, because his was longer, because he got us off on a serious note, and I, as usual, am going to dumb us down into a more retarded note.
Okay, you're good at it.
Yeah, I know. 26 minutes into the show, and I've already made the probably career-ending decision to make fun of both Limey and Frank in the first 26 minutes of the show, and so to round out this trifecta, I'm going to go... To round out this trifecta, up next on my radar is Dan Strauss. Now, let me set the scene for this. This is a quick 2 minute or less story. Bud Light, Budweiser is one of the sponsors of the station, and today they delivered 6 cases of Bud Light Orange to the studio. Okay? And of course, the drunken ex-cons on the air before us were drinking on the air, and they left the
probably
beer.
Drank all of it.
No, they actually didn't, because that's part of my Burke segment. There's 4 cases still sitting in the 590 The Fan kitchen area. Another case is on ice in the refrigerator. There's an empty 12-pack box still sitting here in the studio from the ex-cons that just left. And there's an open beer sitting on the break table where I prepare the newscast at.
Oh.
On top of that, there is a 7-foot long, 3-foot high poster of Bud Light Orange, and in these huge, big, fat letters on a couch right outside Dan's studio, where he's walked past it 15 times prior to going on the air today, it says on there, brewed with real orange peels. And 5 minutes before we went on the air, Dan Strauss looks at that open bottle of Bud Light Orange on the table, looks at those 4 cases of beer on the kitchen floor, and says, Bud Light Orange, huh? You think they put the taste of orange in that?
Idiot.
And then
he
said,
as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I knew I was going to get ripped.
Yeah, but that's Dan. That's what makes Dan special.
Oh,
he is special.
Yeah.
He is some kind of special.
I'm telling you.
So
Now, Tim, you just did something, and you opened the door for me to mention something that I was going to mention earlier, and it had to do with a phone call that I had from a good friend of mine at the lake, the Rat. I mentioned the Rat a lot, mm-hmm. and here's what it is. Is it okay, if you feel like you're good enough friends with somebody, is it okay to correct them when, in the course of conversation, they make just a blatant, obvious grammatical error and you're doing them a favor, because down the road, if you did that in an interview or something, it might cost you the job.
I think where you're going with this.
Where am I going? Go ahead.
Ending a sentence in a preposition.
Thank you. He just did it again. You said, over where I prepare the newscast at.
Comma.
No.
Comma.
Oh, no.
Comma.
No.
You didn't hear a comma?
No. No. Now, does that bother you, and am I a jerk and out of line?
No.
Because if I am, I will never do it again.
No, correct me all day long. Seriously, I don't want to impose bad grammar on all the AM and the PMers because they already walk around aimlessly with all the misinformation we give them on a daily basis. And I don't want to fry their brains any worse than they're already fried.
My wife came back yesterday. She went on a walk with a friend of hers. Girls like to walk together and talk girl talk. And this woman is trying her best. She's taking courses. She's studying. She's studying to be a firefighter, an EMT, and some other stuff. She's turning her life around. And in the course of the conversation, she said something kind of like that. Well, I looked around. I didn't even know where I was at. And my wife said, do you mind if I just, when I hear you misuse the English language, do you mind if I call it out? She said, oh my goodness, you'd be doing me the greatest favor because I'm trying my best to make everything about myself better. So she told her what she had just said, and it was something really, I mean, really obvious, like, I seen my ex-husband yesterday. And my wife just said, no, you saw your... And she thanked her again before they left. She said, please, anytime you hear that. And I'm the same way. I really do. Not only does it not bother me, I like it when you guys or anybody else says, oh, you know what you just said, right? That's not correct. It's blank. So you did say where I prepare the newscast at. And I might add, this is such a common thing. So many people do it that... It's not a big deal, I guess, to most people, but I don't know. I think we all have certain little, what do they call it, peccadillos or something, that just bother you. And even though mine's not perfect, my grammar's not perfect, my English's not perfect, I want it to be as close as it can be, so for that to happen, somebody's got to call me out. So I'm just telling you, and if you don't ever want me to do it again,
fine.
Because in some ways it's rude.
It's funny
what I just did.
No, you're fine. I have no problem with the one. I'm unoffendable. That girl that did that speech that Limey played during his Burke segment, she had horrible grammar at the beginning of what she was seeing. She was like talking in triple negatives and
she was not a public speaker.
Right. So
she's a student, and I'm sure one of her teachers was cringing.
Right.
Because I heard it too. I don't remember what it was. It was really bad grammar.
We don't want no.
But
it was something like we don't want no.
Yeah, yes, it was. Like it was a double negative. It was a double negative. And you know, you have to take it within the context of what she's doing, that would be the most inappropriate time to speak up and go, use the double negative. No, listen to what she's saying and save that for another time.
Yeah.
Was there any more?
No, sir, I am done.
I always thought a peccadillo was a bird with a hard shell.
Have another beer, Dan.
Why did you give him
orange,
a rim shot?
Some orange
that?
In it. Some orange in there.
It was funny.
You need some orange.
No, it wasn't. We're closing the Burke segment.
More orange.
Burke segment's closed. Close the Burke segment.
No, I had a, going back to the preposition thing, I had a college teacher, and he ran the radio station. He was in charge of the radio station. Anytime someone said, where is that at? He would go, between the A and the T. And everybody look at him go, what are you talking about? He goes, never. End a sentence in a preposition. Never.
But so common that they almost ought to just make it acceptable.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody does it. Yeah. Here's another one. When I was in school, if you wanted to really be technical and perfect, you wouldn't say, let me try to think of a good example. Each person in America has his own way of each person in America has his own way of dressing, okay, or has his own likes and dislikes when it comes to movies. Well, that actually should be each person in America. It should be what I just said, has his, but because we got into this feminist thing, and his means, ooh, it's just women that way, people say each person in America has their own way of determining what they want to see at the movie theater, has their own way. Well, each person is singular. Each person can't have their own way. Each person has his. But when you use his, we got to find a way to... So they actually have made it acceptable to say, well, each person has their own likes and dislikes when it comes to movies. So that one's one that's kind of become accepted, but certain things won't. And Dan and I talked about this before. The station we just came from, and I hope the person's listening. I do, because we were never, at least I was never in a position where I felt comfortable correcting this person. This person is in sales, and every single day we heard this person say, hey, I seen your wife yesterday. Now, I'm going to tell you, you've got to go to West Virginia to hear that kind of talk. I mean, the sticks, uneducated, hillbilly country. I seen, well, you know, I was at the stoplight, and I seen this cop come by. That's what this person says, who is a fairly successful salesperson, yet nobody in a meeting, no advertiser, apparently nobody has ever said, whoa, 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 stop right there. What did you say? I seen your wife, but nobody will do it because it's awkward. It's embarrassing. I guess it's considered rude. We'd all be better off if people in the right way would straighten us out when we're wrong when it comes to grammar. Because what's happened in this country is not just with grammar, but with everything. We have very gradually just decided there are no rules. There are no rights or wrongs. Anything goes, and it doesn't really matter anymore. But it should. It should matter. When I was a kid, if I said yeah to my dad, if he said, so are you thinking about going with your buddy to go get a hamburger? And I said, yeah. He said, what did you say? What did you say? You mean yes or yes, sir, not yeah. I mean, that's the difference in then and now. It was a completely different world.
My dad always hated whenever I referred to a lady or a female as she or her. He would always give me something for that. Excuse me, what's her name? And, you know, or you say, actually, no, you say Auntie Denise, not she. Yeah, he always gave me that.
Wow, your dad was really... Is he still in town?
He's still in town. He's listening right now, probably online at home.
I'll give you another good one. I'll never forget that. When I said one time in front of my dad, I said that I loved hamburgers, or it was something. It was a food. Oh, I love fried chicken. He said, no, you don't. No, you don't love things. You love God. Now, come on.
Whoa.
I mean, come on. Yeah, that's a bit. We love God or family or people. We don't love chicken. You can't love thing.
Yeah, there are people out there that love chickens and sheep and things like that, you know.
Dan, I know what you mean.
I did see a video of a chicken running around in sneakers.
I did too.
Somebody had tied some on. I thought that was hilarious, but that's not really got anything to do with anything.
Full-size sneakers or little chicken sneakers?
No, full-size sneakers. It's very funny.
He didn't run very well.
Well, I'm glad you're laughing. You know what that's called? Animal cruelty.
Oh, right.
Now, how do you feel?
Well, I
feel terrible.
All right, listen, we're taking a break, and we come back, and maybe we'll do a little Burke segment, and maybe not. I got the okay today. I got the call. And I told you the other day, I agreed to do something I never agree to do. And Dan knows me better than anybody in this business has ever known me. And when I tell you I get stage fright and I don't like to get up in front of people, Dan has witnessed it many, many times. I am a wreck. I'm sick. I have a stomach ache for weeks. I just cannot. I don't know why. I've only ever had one failure, and I've stood up in front of people at least 100 times more, 200 times over the years, because in the early days this business required it, and I was willing to do it because I needed the money, and usually they'd pay a few bucks to go out and introduce somebody. But I have a tremendous stage fright. But I've agreed to do this in October. In fact, the date is October 20th at the Family Arena. And I'm going to introduce the Gatlin Brothers, the Oak Ridge Boys, and Tanya Tucker. I think separately. I don't think it's a come out one time. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. I think I probably have to step out there two or three times. And I'll be sick and I'll be nervous. This is going to sound weird, but one of the reasons I agreed to do it is my daughter was born in 1988. The peak, I guess, of my radio days would have been mid-80s to early 90s. So she was so little, she never got a chance to really know what I did or appreciate what I did. And what I did many times involved, and it was usually the Fox Theater, getting up on stage and introducing George Strait, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, you name it, go down the line. And she never got to see that. And I think it'd be a big deal for her, because my kids, and I think most people's kids, enjoy finding something about their parents that they're impressed by or that they are proud of them for doing. So she'll get a chance to see me that night, and I'm going to arrange for, you know, to have extra tickets given to me because I'm not getting paid, so they can just come see this show because they also like that kind of music. So as we get closer to October, I may go on the air here and beg everybody who can to go because the last thing I want is to walk out there and there's 16 people there because it was announced that I was going to introduce them so nobody showed up. See, that's part of the stage fright thing. I have this ongoing nightmare that I would walk out and nobody'd be there or there'd be 8 people there. And you know that they call smattering of applause. Frank, oh, Pena. Well, Dan experienced it at the Variety Club at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
When he was on doing stand-up comedy. He experienced that 3 people in the room smattering of applause, and I felt so bad for him because I watched it. I thought, oh man, there's my worst nightmare right there, but Dan lived through it. So October 20th. Now, after the break, because of that, I've only done this once ever since I've been on the air. When I was in the 5th grade, for whatever reason, I got tapped by my teacher, Mrs. Shands, to get up on stage. We had a variety club at the a variety show at the grade school, and you had to pick something to do to get up on stage and do at the variety show. Well, I don't play an instrument. I'm not a singer. So I chose a poem. Now, where I grew up, the Confederate flag was not a racist thing at all. It was a symbol of pride, fighting for the South. And not far from our house was Shiloh National Park, the Battle of Shiloh, big battle in the Civil War. I chose to read The Little Drummer Boy of Shiloh. And I memorized the whole thing. I didn't read it. And I walked out on stage wearing my little Confederate uniform. I had the full full Confederate uniform and a musket, which, oh, you couldn't do that in school anymore, even though it was a functioning wooden replica musket. And I had a Confederate flag and a drum. You know, the drum is just, and I proceeded to read and recite, rather, The Little Drummer Boy of Shiloh. And when we come back, I would like now to recite that for you.
Oh, man.
But keep in mind, you will need Kleenexes, because the one thing I do remember in the 5th grade, when I finished, I looked out, and all these adults who had come to our evening variety show were crying.
They were.
I made them cry.
Are you going to use your Tennessee slang voice to do it?
Whoa, you know, that's a great question.
That's what you had back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I did.
You could take us back in time.
I think I will. I will try to duplicate my fifth grade 11-year-old hillbilly nasals I recite The Drummer Boy of Shiloh. Nice. So, folks, just when you thought, well, there's nothing to look forward to on this show, I think I just changed your mind. So let me do a little business, come back, one more piece of business, and we will. Lima, were you able to find a...
Yep, I got it.
Could I hear a little of it? Are you able to... Oh, that's perfect! How about a round of applause for a guy who in the last couple of weeks has managed to master most of this sound box and find things that aren't even in it, Limestone Phillips. He is the master of his domain. Here's the master of the kitchen and bath remodeling domain. His name is Thompson Price. I would say he masters that domain pretty well. When you buy a house and you look at display homes, let's go to display homes for a minute. If you've ever done that, my wife loves to do that. I don't, because you go in and you see stuff that you don't have and you get depressed. Well, I wish our house had that. So I don't like to do it, but she does. But when you go in, you'll notice, even if it's what they call staged, they put furniture in there. There's companies that rent furniture to real estate agents. They seem to always put a little extra attention and sort of beef up the kitchen and bathrooms a little more. Not just in what's in them, but in the way they're built, because they know these are very important rooms to people who are thinking about buying a house. The kitchen, is the center island big enough? Is there enough cabinet space, enough pantry space? That's a big deal. How about the floors? Are they going to be easy to clean if somebody drops and spills something? And I think of all the rooms in the house, the kitchen probably gets more stuff dropped on the floor. Oh, cracked an egg. You got away from me. Now there's egg on the floor. So how about the floor? So they put a lot of thought into the kitchen and bathrooms because a lot of times that's what sells the house. Of course, yard is important to some people. Some people, they don't need a yard. Here's where Thompson Price comes in. I don't care if you buy a $3 million house. That kitchen was not built for you. It was built for that house. It's probably going to be pretty nice at $3,000, but it's not custom built for you and your family. Yours will be the kitchen that's in the house you have right now. Now, I almost said they can't do anything about size. It is what it is, square footage wise, but they can. They did it in our house by knocking out a section of cabinets and moving this and that. We actually added a few square feet. So sometimes they can do that, but let's just say it's the same size. When they finish that kitchen, and for the first time you look at it and realize this is the same space we had before, but I would never even recognize that I'm in my house. This kitchen is so spectacular. That's what you want. And you want to feel like you got every dollar's worth, and you want to feel like that their strive for perfection was successful. And that's what they want. They want the perfect kitchen for you and your family, and I say family because it's not just all about mom if she cooks or dad if he cooks or both if they cook. There are a lot of other things that go into it. How many kids are in the family? How much time spent in there? Do you want a TV built into the... Do you need two ovens? Do you need one? Do you need an extra microwave? What about positioning? Would you like to... And on and on and on and on. That's why they have an extensive process. So here's my suggestion. If you're thinking about, and whether even if it's not now, maybe in the fairly near future, remodeling, completely remodeling a kitchen and or bathroom, Thompson Price, okay? I cannot stress... I think you'll actually be mad if you don't include them and then you visit somebody's house who had Thompson Price do it. You're going to kick yourself. Where'd that expression come from, by the way? Can you even kick yourself?
Yeah.
You sort of can with your heel on your butt, but that's about the only way you can kick yourself. Thompson Price, really make sure the name, well, that's true. Make sure the name Price is in at least one of the companies you talk to. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. ThompsonPrice.com.
And we're going to get a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Wrapped up a crash westbound 64 at Tudor on the Illinois side. Eastbound 64 heavy 14th Street to the Poplar. Stop and go westbound 64 Lindbergh to 270. And southbound 270, you're backing up Ladue to Doherty Ferry. Construction delays eastbound 44 at Route 50 Union. Sounds like we have a serious accident. Newstead at Cottage. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO can help you get great coverage, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Grizz Nation, celebrate our beloved mascot, Grizz's birthday, and watch your Grizzlies battle the Los Angeles Lakers Saturday, March 24th at 7 p.m., presented by KFC. Be one of the first 5,000 fans in attendance and receive a Grizzlies lunchbox. For great seats to this game, call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being the hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to stlbugs.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been in business in St. Louis for over 10 years. We use modern GPS technology to find people or to figure out what they're doing when you're not around. Call me, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
Finally, St. Louis, finally the wait is over for an upscale airport lounge that accommodates every type of traveler. I could not be more excited to be a member of the Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2 at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport. Complimentary amenities include creative small bites, Caldi's coffee, organic teas, beer, wine, and spirits. The lounge features high-speed Wi-Fi, wireless printing capabilities, in-lounge restrooms, and power outlets at every seat. Wingtips offers single-visit passes or annual memberships. Stop by before your next flight.
Who's ready for some USDA prime rib? Any restaurant can call their meat prime, but for a restaurant to proclaim USDA prime, it has to be graded within the top 2% of all meat served in the country. That's how it's done at Serp and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road, just west of Highway 270. And size matters when it comes to prime rib at Serp and Sirloin. Specials all month long on prime rib in 12-ounce, 18-ounce, and even a Diamond Jim Brady 32-ounce cut. Open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at serpandsirloin.com.
Grizz fans, grind forth and be there as Marc Gasol and your Memphis Grizzlies battle Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers Wednesday, March 28th at 7 p.m. For the best seats to this game or to secure your 2018 and 19 season tickets, call 901-888-HOOP or shop grizzlies.com.
Take a load off.
Take a load off, baby.
Oh, shoot, I know who this is. I can't think of it. All right, who is it?
Name the band.
Oh, the band. It's the band. Oh, thank you. It is the band. Okay. I'm about a minute away from the tear-jerking drummer boy of Shiloh that I performed on stage in the fifth grade. First a word, and now a word from Amenes. Amenes, that's a family's name. Arash Amini is the guy who runs the place. He and his dad run, actually four of them around the country. There's one in Kansas City. I don't remember where the other two are because I only care about the one here. And the one here, if the others are like the one here, then I'm sure they're equally successful, and they also are the only stores in whatever areas they're in that can claim to be stores that don't sell any junk. I guess there are other stores somewhere that sell something where they only sell top-of-the-line stuff, but I can't think of who they might be. But I can guarantee you they don't have the eclectic is a word I've never really understood and known the real meaning of, but it sounds like a good one to use. It's an unexpected grouping or group of things or ideas that don't seem to go together. When they say, well, he has eclectic tastes, that means he has no taste usually. It means a guy has an apartment and he just threw all kinds of stuff in there that don't go together, and they go, well, his tastes are pretty eclectic. Well, in this store, the things do all go together and it works really well somehow. Somebody had a good vision. If you don't know what we're talking about, you need to get into Amenes. You can be looking for lighting for your home, inside or out. And I mean beautiful lighting. You can be looking for furniture, but not furniture store furniture, if you know what I mean. Sidebar. Where did this little Bob come from? Little furniture guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Little cartoon guy. He's all over the country. How did he all of a sudden just pop up everywhere?
I don't know. It's like they're everywhere. It seems like they're all over.
Yeah, and there's an example of truly, truly affordable furniture. And I'm not going to call it junk because there's something for everybody. And there are lots of people. Maybe they move a lot. Maybe they're in the military. Maybe you just got married. Maybe they're like we were when we got married. We lived in the two first places we lived were trailers in trailer parks. And our furniture was the cheapest of cheap. That's all we could afford. So there's a place for everything. But if you've reached the place in your life where you can afford to treat yourself and you think you deserve something better made, something well made, some of the best in the world, this is the store for you. For patio furniture for other rooms in the house, for accent pieces, pinball machines, arcade games, home theater furniture, area rugs, my goodness, handmade or machine made, and their selection of patio furniture. This is the most spectacular patio furniture you'll probably ever see. Check their website because there's a lot of money to be saved if you pay attention when they move out last year's stuff and get ready to move in this year's stuff. You can save some good money. Amenes, A-M-I-N-I-S, Amenes.com.
Hey, before you do your poem, there was a guy that called in during the break and said that he's Facebook friends with someone and he knows that this lady homeschools her kids. And he would correct when she would write things on Facebook. He would make corrections and tell her. And
she's a teacher.
Yeah, she's supposed to be homeschooling the kids. And he said her grammar is atrocious. And she said, if you continue correcting me, I will defriend you. Unfriend you.
Well, that, you know what? That's sad because she's a teacher and she should want to do better.
I know. So.
That's funny.
All right, I hope I have time to do this and not run out. This is called Little Drummer Boy of Shiloh. And picture in your mind a little fifth grade Franco Pinion in a little Confederate uniform on stage, scared to death. And lie me if you would, please. And I'll do it in my fifth grade southern nasal hick accent. Maybe just a little lower. There you go. On Shiloh's dark and bloody ground, the dead and wounded lay. Among them was a drummer boy who beat the drum that day. Look down upon this battlefield, O thou our heavenly friend. Have mercy on our sinful souls. The soldiers cried, Amen. They gathered round a little group. Each brave man knelt and cried. They listened to the drummer boy, who prayed before he died. Oh, Mother, said the dying boy, look down from heaven on me. Receive me to thy fond embrace. Take me home to thee. I've loved my country as my God. To serve them both I've tried. He smiled, shook hands, and death seized the boy who prayed before he died. Each soldier wept like a little child. Stout hearts were they and brave. They wrapped him in his country's flag and laid him in the grave. They placed by him a Bible, a rededicated guide to those who mourn the drummer boy who prayed before he died. Ye angels round the throne of grace, look down upon the braves who fought and died on Shiloh's plain, now slumbering in their graves. How many homes made desolate? How many hearts have sighed? How many like that drummer boy who prayed before he died?
Wow.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. And I looked out, crying, sniffling. Yep, that's when I knew.
You suck,
Indian.
Somebody in the background.
That's when I knew, when I looked out and realized I had them. That's when I knew I never want to do this again because I just about pooped in my pants. I was so nervous. So, Little Drummer Boy Shiloh. I know people out there right now, some had to pull off the roads. Their eyes were welling up with tears. You can't drive like that. That's dangerous. You don't want to drive with. And that really wasn't my voice because it was higher. It was a lot higher back in, a lot more nasal. It was more like this. It was rough. But if I do it in that voice, it kind of takes away from the power of the, you know, the poem. But that's how I did it. And then, of course, the kid that followed me had to come out and just, I mean, just really tear loose on a saxophone or something. It made me look like an idiot because I didn't have that kind of, you know, there's always that one kid who's gifted. Mm-hmm. That just makes all the other kids look there like they're, and here's what we would say in my day, look like they're mentally retarded. You can't say that now, but isn't that funny though? How much things have changed. We had a classroom. There was no special school district, no special bus, the short bus or whatever. It was just all kids went to the same school, but they had their own classroom, and the teachers would say, run this down to the retarded class. Take this and hand it to the teacher down. No, they did. Yeah. To the retarded class. And they worked in the kitchen and the cafeteria, and they gave them things to do. But, boy, oh, boy, what a different world we live in now. Not one black kid, of course, in the entire time I went to grade school or high school. That was unheard of. They had their own school, Dunbar Grade School and Dunbar High School. And I'm sure it was named for some body who contributed in history something great, you know, somebody named Dunbar. So there you go. A little bit about my childhood. Good feet. There were no Good Feet stores when I was a kid. There were no McDonald's restaurants. There were no fast food restaurants of any kind. and certainly no good feed stores. And when people hit, and I'm not kidding, when they hit 50, they just decided, well, it's time for me to look real old. And if you look at pictures, a generation or two ago, people in their 40s and 50s looked at their 80. It's like they tried to look old.
When he was a kid, there was only covered wagons and saloons. That's all.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Not that far back. But there were no good feed stores, so all older women had to wear those old mother lived in the shoe, mother goose shoes, those ugly black shoes. Well, guess what, folks? Now you can wear whatever shoes you like, your own shoes, and still do something that very well may eliminate the pain you're in. Pain in your feet, your knees, your back, your hips. It could be coming still from your feet. The good feed stores, they stumbled on years ago to something pretty powerful. Find out if it's right for you. If the pain relief you're looking for is there, here's where there is. Two locations.